welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. In this hour, comedy. Later on, we'll hear The Bob Hope Show with special guest Bing Crosby from 1953. But right now, it's the Texaco Star Theater, better known as The Fred Allen Show, from May 16, 1943 on CBS, the very same year that turned out to be a great one for special guest Frank Sinatra. He had begun his two-year regular stint on Your Hit Parade, also was heard in episodes of the Treasury Star Parade, Command Performance, a special broadcast saluting the President's birthday, and had begun his own series, Songs by Sinatra. Hear him as special guest next, with Fred Allen.
It's Texaco time with Fred Allen. This week, ladies and gentlemen, Winston Churchill is in Washington. Every time Mr. Churchill meets Mr. Roosevelt, something happens. Tonight, we bring you a man who meets you every Sunday night, and nothing happens. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, I'm glad that you mentioned Mr. Churchill's visit. He certainly surprised everyone, dropping into Washington out of a clear sky.
Say, I wonder what Mr. Churchill came over to see the president about, Fred.
Well, he came over here to get a ration book, Jimmy.
Now, what does Winston Churchill need with a ration book?
When the time comes, Mr. Churchill wants to have enough points to bring home the bacon, Jimmy. That's the only reason he would want a ration book. You know, this is the fourth time the president and Mr. Churchill have met, twice at Washington, once at sea, and once at Casablanca.
Say, I wonder where they'll meet the next time, Fred.
In Berlin, Jimmy, I'm hoping. Do you know why the Germans and the Italians surrendered at Tunisia last week?
Why, Fred?
They know the quickest way they can get back home to Germany and Italy is to follow the American and English armies, Jimmy. In the newsreels, I saw the Germans were yelling, Heil Hitler, and leaving the I out of Heil. I saw the picture. Well, it only goes to show...
Mr. Allen!
Portland, gee whiz. Well, you're just in time, Portland. Jimmy and I were talking over the news of the week. What's new to your grotesque way of thinking?
Nothing much.
Really?
Mama's learning to be a motorman.
Oh, yes. I read that New York is going to have women running the trolley car shortly. Do you think your mother will make good running a trolley?
She should. Mama has a one-track mind.
Well, that helps. More power to the old lady. Tell me, have they trusted your mother? Have they trusted your mother out with a streetcar yet?
Yes. Mama made her solo trip yesterday.
Oh, she soloed, huh? How did she do?
Well, in the morning, Mama ran the trolley cross town on 42nd Street and only took in 85 cents.
Oh, she had took a commission. She was working. If she had to pay commission on it, that's no good, is it?
In the afternoon, Mama cleaned up.
How?
During the rush hour, Mama ran her trolley down into the subway and made $48.
Oh, well, that's the thing to do if you're running a streetcar. Go where the money is. And go reminds me, Portland, we'd better go down to Allen's Alley.
Oh, have you a question?
Oh, yes. Today, with meat rationing, many people are starting to raise a few chickens along with their victory garden. The Department of Agriculture has had thousands of requests for information on chicken raising. And so, keeping up with the times, our question tonight is, are you raising chickens? And if you are, how are you doing?
Shall we go?
Well, if we don't, the program will finish 25 minutes early. I'll take it. Let us away. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. I'll see if John Doe is in.
Oh, good evening, Brother Allen.
Are you raising any chickens, Mr. Doe?
Don't mention chickens to me. I've been married 30 years.
What has being married 30 years got to do with raising chickens?
Brother, one old cluck around the house is enough.
Well, it looks as though Mr. Doe with his old hen is all set. Let's see what's going on next door here.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum, have you done anything about this poultry business?
I'm liking only one egg for breakfast.
One egg? Then you only need one chicken.
Exactly. A friend is getting for me also one chicken. A Plymouth rack.
A Plymouth rack.
A Plymouth rack with nest complete.
Well, you got a nest that came with the hen, huh? And the eggs started rolling in, did they?
What eggs? 2 weeks later, I am learning.
Learning what?
The nest is a nest, but the chicken is not a chicken.
No?
It is a rooster.
What did you do?
The next day, in a frenzy, I am cooking the whole business.
Well, how was it?
The rooster is soft.
Uh-huh.
But the nest is delicious.
Well, the next chicken, I wonder how Socrates Mulligan is faring. Every time you say hello, you air condition the place, Socrates. Tell me, have you been fooling around with chickens?
Yeah, when meat got scarce, I figure I'll get me a mess of eggs, hatch them out, and go into the chicken business.
Uh-huh, and you bought the eggs?
I was just going to when a friend wised me up.
How, Socrates?
This friend said, what do you want horsing around with eggs and chickens and hatching?
Yeah?
He says, get an incubator. It'll do the whole business.
And you bought an incubator?
6 months ago.
And today you are a chicken baron.
Today I am a dead duck.
Why, Socrates?
For 6 months I've been running out every morning.
Yes?
That darn incubator ain't laid an egg yet.
Well, Socrates will learn that you cannot egg an incubator on. Now, let's see what is going on in this little house at the end of the alley.
Bonsoir all, si vous plaît. Falstaff's here with Rondelet.
Now, no. Please, Falstaff, no poems tonight.
Have you heard? She thought that I was just an nonentity when suddenly I revealed my identity.
No.
Said General Eisenhower to Adolf Hitler, brother, you're getting littler and littler.
No, I...
My mother wouldn't have raised me if she knew I had that ace in the hole.
Now, wait a minute. You have fine... Tonight, you upset the whole apple cart here. Tonight, we are talking about raising chickens.
Approximately why I am here.
Yeah?
I have written a poem.
What is your chicken poem called?
That's Why a Hen Lays an Egg.
How does it go?
Why does a hen lay an egg? This question has weathered the ages. For eons, it baffled men the world o'er, morons as well as sages. Adam first asked the question, as the serpent lay coiled in the grass. Adam said, why does a hen lay an egg? The serpent said, brother, I pass. Why does a hen lay an egg? Since Adam's day, it's puzzled all scholars. It was asked by Phil Baker last Sunday night. The contestant lost $64. Tonight, I will answer this question. For the nonce, I am pundit, not joker. The reason a hen lays an egg is because if she coughed up the egg, it would choke her.
And as Falstaff picks up his egg and scrambles, we turn to find Hilo, Jack, and the Dame at their microphone. Guided by Maestro Al Goodman, the kids sing Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer.
One of our planes was missing. They waited for a word. Then the radio started humming, and this is what they heard. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. So there's one martyr gone, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. What a shot, what a fun. Yes, we really hit a target far too loud. we sing as we lift through the air. Look below, there's our field over there. With our full crew aboard and our trust in the Lord, we're coming in on a wing and a prayer. Singing a song to help us along. Look below, there's a field over there. So there's one motor gun, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer.
Thank you very much. Hello, Jack and Dame. That was swell. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Mr. Allen, can you...
I won't have time now, Portland. I have to look over this new song I've written. Gad, you know this song of mine may be another Three Itty Fishes and an Itty Bitty Poo?
You've written a song?
You can laugh. Go ahead. You can laugh. If I can get our guest to sing my song tonight, my song will be number one on your all-time.
Well, who is our guest?
Why, he's the most talked-of singer in the country today. His voice is thrilling millions.
Gosh, singing, Sam?
No, our guest isn't an opera personality, Portland. He's Frank Sinatra. Now, wait a minute. Pull yourself together. You won't have time to roll down your stockings and put on your sloppy Joe sweater. If I can get Frank Sinatra to sing my song, I'll be one of the... Say, this may be Frank now. Come in. Oh, yes, miss.
Hail to thee, your Frank Sinatra. Hail to thee, our idol.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hail to thee, please.
You were...
I'm Cuddle Flanagan.
That's right. You were hailing around here last week. You were president of the Fred Allen Fan Club, is that right?
Yeah, but that outfit fell apart. We reorganized.
Oh. Well, what is your fan club called now?
Chapter One of the Girls Who Would Lay Down and Die for Frank Sinatra.
What is it you want to...
I got a presentation to give personally to Frank Sinatra.
Oh, a presentation?
Yeah. I heard Frank Sinatra sing... You'd be so nice to come home to.
And you want to give him?
My address. Yahoo!
That dame would drive the street singer indoors on a sunny day, yes. Well, you see, Portland, what Frank Sinatra's singing is doing to people. If he will only sing my song... Oh, this must be Frank now. Come in.
Is Sinatra here yet?
Yes, officer. Is something wrong?
I'm from the Jitterbug Riot Squad. I've been assigned to Sinatra.
Well, you won't have any trouble here.
That's what they told me when he opened at the Paramount.
And there was confusion?
It was a riot. Three of my men was trampled silly with sport shoes. And the sergeant was slugged with a loaded yo-yo.
Well, officer, I think we're prepared tonight.
Have you got the stage door bolted?
Yes, officer.
You got the aisles roped off so the jitterbugs can't dance in them?
Yes, officer.
You got the screens up so they can't creep in through the air conditioning?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll make my announcement. Now, please, kids, let's have no trouble tonight. When you tear Mr. Sinatra's clothes off, take them home. Don't leave no rags around the seat.
Have you finished? You have another line, officer, if you don't mind. He can't wait to see Frank Sinatra himself yet.
Yeah, I finished. That takes care of everything. You can bring him on now.
Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to have you meet Frank Sinatra.
Thank you very much.
Gosh, Frank, right now, I must be the envy of every jitterbug in America.
So how do you mean, Fred?
Why, I'm standing right next to you. I'm close enough to touch you.
They told me you'd start off by trying to make a touch.
Two lines and I'm a straight man already. Well, tell me, Frank, what is this terrific appeal you have? Girls stampede wherever you go. What have you got that I haven't got?
Perhaps I haven't got something that you have got, Fred.
Now, please, no life boy plugs, Frank. Now, look, Frank, you're on the hit parade. You have your own program. You sing at nightclubs and theaters. You must need a lot of songs. Now, I have a song.
Fred, some other time. I'm working at Frank Daly's Terrace Room over in Newark, and I've got another show to do tonight.
Now, look, I can meet you, Frank. I can meet you right after the show. I'll bring my metronome. If you hear me sing this song...
No, Fred, I'm sorry. After the show, I've got to rehearse some new numbers. I'm opening at the Paramount a week from Wednesday.
Again? Well, you were just there. Why, you were just there a few months ago. They held you over for 8 weeks.
That's right, Fred. The public has been very kind to me.
Why, the last time you played the Paramount, the jitterbugs had a picnic there, Frank. The kids built campfires in the lounge. They had a big weenie roast going in the balcony. And when the picture finally went on, two Guy Lombardo fans were mugged in the mezzanine.
Well, jitterbugs are inclined to be enthusiastic. But they're all good kids, really.
Speaking of kids, Frank, kids will go for this song I have. Now, look, you say you're tied up tonight. I'll get up early and sing it for you tomorrow morning.
I'm sorry. Tomorrow I've got a conference. You know, I'm going to make a picture for RKO.
Oh, good. I'm going to make a picture, too. What is your picture?
It's a musical, Fred, called Higher and Higher. Mm-hmm. Michelle Morgan and George Murphy are in it, too. What is your picture?
Well, the story isn't finished yet, Frank. But the cast is all set. I'm being starred with Gunther Badu and Ingrid Knischmeister.
Gunther Badu?
Yes, they're both foreign stars, you see. I am the only one who speaks English in the picture. When Gunther and Ingrid are on, there'll be titles in English flashed on the bottom of the screen as I am speaking English up screen, you see. This song I'm speaking...
Look, Fred, everybody brings me songs.
But, Frank,
every schnook I meet thinks he's a songwriter.
But, Frank, I...
My butcher wrote a song called I Used to Meet You, But I Can't Anymore. Even my garbage man wrote a song.
The garbage man?
Yes, Fred, he calls it I Treasure That Pimento, It's a Little Memento of You. I am song happy, Fred.
Well, all right, Frank, I can take a hint. I have another singer begging for my song. And remember, Frank Sinatra, the day Georgie Jessel takes your place on the hit parade, you will know the reason why.
Well, Fred, I'm sorry. Perhaps I've been a little hasty. What is the song of yours?
Well, you know what a smash hit Brazil was.
Yes?
Well, my song is the closest you can get to Brazil. It's called Chili. I'll run it over for you. Boys. These boys are two native Cubans, Frank. They give me the authentic rumba background, you see.
This little guy's face looks very familiar.
The little one, yes. He used to do Xavier Cugar's laundry, the little man.
Is the big one a celebrity, too?
The big one. The tall one, yes, he is. He brought the first enchilado over to Staten Island, this big fellow. Have you got your maracas, boys?
Si, maracas.
They've got their maracas, Frank. Well, let's go, amigos. Chili. Chili.
Hold it,
amigo. Just a minute, boy. Yes, Frank?
What kind of a song is this? It only has one word.
Well, yes, Chili, one word is the verse, you see. The chorus comes later. Uh-huh. Be patient, Frank. It comes out all right. I'll guarantee you. All right, boys. Chili.
I met a filly, they call Millie, what a dilly. Was a filly dressed so lily white and filly with a skin just like vanilla, and it says his name was Chili down in Chili. Chili. Chili.
Well, Frank, you heard that applause. Is this song Hit Parade bait or not?
You know, I think I liked that song better when it was called The Peanut Vendor, Fred.
I get it. You don't want to sing my song, eh?
No, sorry, Fred. I'd rather do something I know.
For instance?
Well, I like to sing She's Funny That Way.
All right, and I'd like to hear it, Frank.
To look at, nothing to see, just glad I'm living and lucky to be. I got a woman crazy for me. She's funny that way. I can't save a dollar and I ain't worth a cent. She'd never holler, she'd live in a tent. I got a woman crazy for me. She's funny that way. Though I know she'd work and slave for me every day, she'd be so much better off if I went away. But why should I leave her? Why should I go? She'd be unhappy without me, I know. I got a woman that's crazy for me. She's funny that way. When I hurt her feelings once in a while, her only answer is one little smile. I got a woman so crazy for me. She's funny that way.
Frank, that was excellent.
Thank you very much, Frank.
You know, it's a small world, Frank. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be standing here in the spotlight tonight getting this applause.
Mm-hmm. You mean you were responsible for my success?
In a roundabout way, Frank. You see, you are the jitterbug's idol, and I started the whole jitterbug movement. You know, to look at me, you wouldn't believe that I was the first jitterbug.
No, I wouldn't. How did it happen?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't now, but I mean, look back a few years. How did it happen? I'll tell you. Syncopation ran in our family, Frank. When I was 2 days old, I crept out of my crib and crawled down a gopher hole. My father said,
"Hey, come up out of that gopher hole, son."
And I said,
"Dig me, Daddy, dig me."
See, when I was 2 days old, they dug me. For the next 17 years, I slept in the attic. I was on the beam. When I was 19... when I was 19, I decided to go to New York. I ordered a suit from a Mr. Zeiss, a little Dutch tailor in town. And the day I called for the suit, when it was finished, Mr. Zeiss said,
"Yeah, yeah.
Everything is ready now. Try it on, huh?
Well, I put the suit on. The thing was a mess. I said, Mr. Zeig, look at this suit. The pants are all baggy at the knees, and the cuffs are choking my ankles. The coat comes down to my shins, and the lapels are hanging down on my hips. You call this a suit?
Well, I am too sorry. I am breaking my glasses, and I am making the suit from memory.
But it's too big. I'm baggy all over.
Oh, my eyes are so bad. Ain't you a tall, fat man?
No, I'm short and thin.
Oh, Himmel, I am memorizing the wrong man.
Well, what about this suit?
Well, the suit suits you. Take it. When a suit suits you, it's a zoot suit.
With my zoot suit, I left for New York. I got a job as a waiter in a flophouse cafeteria. One day, the manager caught me lapping the butter off some waffles. The manager said,
"We've had enough of your hot licks, Alan. You're through."
Then I got a job as a subway guard. One day I was packing people into the Bronx Express. The vice president of the RIT said,
"You're jamming these people in too tight. This is your last jam session, Alan. You're fired."
Then I got a job putting the names up on a movie theater marquee. One morning I put up Mickey Rooney's name and left the M out of Mickey. The theater manager said,
"Mickey Rooney, I'll icky you, Alan Scramp."
The day after the theater manager called me a Nicky, I got my draft notice, Frank. After I had my physical, the head of the draft board said,
"Alan, we tapped your knee.
Uh-huh.
The joint's jumping."
"Yes, sir."
We tapped your head. Brother, you're solid."
"Solid. That makes me a jitterbug, sir. Am I in?"
"Yes, Alan. This draft board doesn't know much about jive, but we can certainly send you."
Well, that's my story, Frank Sinatra. I was the first icky, the first one to hold a jam session, the first one to have somebody dig me. I was solid. I had the first suit. I was the original jitterbug. And today, when the jitterbug craze is finally sweeping the country, Frank, here I am with only an A card. I can't even go to town. Before we close the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Frank Sinatra for dropping in tonight. Next week, our guest will be the new literary light, the author of that new book, So Help Me, Georgie Jessel. And now, Jimmy, if you'd like to sum up for the defense.
For the defense of your car against excessive warm weather wear, give it a Texaco Spring Tonic now. Thermofax chassis lubrication, a crankcase refill with Texaco's famous insulated Havilland motor oil, and a stem-to-stern checkup by your neighborhood Texaco dealer. A Texaco Spring Tonic gives aging cars a new lease on life.
Thank you, Jimmy. This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast, inviting you to tune in again next Sunday and to drive in at any time. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
Thank you. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Texaco Star Theater, on Tune to Two yesterday with Fred Allen and Frank Sinatra, from May 16, 1943, on CBS. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tune to Two yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVilleneur. And now on to the Bob Hope Show, an NBC broadcast retransmitted to our troops overseas via Armed Forces Radio from January 14, 1953, with special guests Terry Moore and Bing Crosby.
Show, transcribed direct from Fort Ord, California, with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our special guests, Terry Moore and Bing Crosby. And here he is, Bob Hope. Much. Here we are at Fort Ord near Monterey, California, for the boys of our armed forces. Boy, they've treated us beautifully up here. I'm also up here to play in the Bing Crosby Invitational Golf Tournament at Pebble Beach. It's a very exclusive affair. To get in, you have to have your own ball. Bing surveyed the whole nation for a golf course. Then he selected the Pebble Beach Golf Course at Cypress Point on the Pacific Ocean. He owns all three. Bing not only runs the tournament, he also plays in it, but there's no favoritism. The rest of us still have a chance to win second or third prize. Crosby out in the golf course is quite a sight. I don't know where he gets those clothes. I think he throws away the laundry and wears the bag. And with his figure, he's right.
The other day, Crosby put on a collar and tie, but it was a mistake. An MP arrested him for being out of uniform. But a lot of famous people have played in this tournament up here. 2 years ago, Phil Harris won it. He came out of fifth ahead of everybody else. And last year, I would have won the tournament except for one stroke. They caught me erasing it. But I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be up here at Fort Ord. That's what I say. And if you were wearing this type of suit, you could say it, too. It's nice to be back at my old alma mater. Yes, sir, I've been here so often, my name appears on the rolls of this camp under enemy infiltration. I really have been up here a lot of times. In fact, they still can't decide which was here first, me or the fish canneries. When the canneries are operating, the wind is real crazy up here. In fact, this is the only army camp in the country where you can get a Purple Heart for taking a deep breath. I was up here 10 years ago for a physical, but I was rejected. Doctors couldn't figure out why. When they tapped my left knee, my right leg flew up. I had my garters crossed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a lovely young star, Miss Terry Moore, right here. Welcome to the show, Terry. I'm glad you were able to make the trip up here with us. Tell me, do you like this part of California?
Well, what I could see as we flew in was very impressive. Rugged cliffs, rolling hills, miles and miles of sand dunes.
Yeah, it all adds up to a wonderful place to live if you're forced into it.
Oh, now, Bob, it's really very beautiful country. After all, there's nothing like old Mother Nature.
I know. That's why I'm up here to play in his golf tournament. And, Terry, you're a comparative newcomer to the Hollywood scene, and I'm sure we'd all be interested in learning more about you. Would you like to tell us about yourself?
All right, Bob. Where shall I start?
With your phone number. Oh, I'm sorry, Terry. That was just a slip.
Oh, it's all right. I'm sure you didn't mean anything by it.
I'm glad you're sure. Just tell us... tell us anything you want, Terry. For example, what are your hobbies?
Well, I ride horseback, I cook, I love to knit, and I'm a licensed pilot. I fly my own plane.
What a coincidence. That's my hobby, too.
Really, Bob?
Yeah, what size needles do you knit with?
You're kidding.
What kind of a plane do you fly, honey?
A Cessna two-seater. I've got over 100 hours in the air.
No kidding. Never any trouble?
Oh, not once, Bob. As a matter of fact, I feel that I'm safer when I'm up in the air than I am when I'm on the ground.
Don't look at me.
Well, I've told you about my hobby. Then, of course, there's my work. You see, my big break was getting that wonderful part in Come Back, Little Sheba. It's a gripping picture with great moments of drama. It's the story of a disillusioned doctor whose love for this young girl plunges him into despair. And then in an alcoholic frenzy, he tries to murder his wife with a butcher knife.
Sounds like a sequel to Hans Christian Andersen. Terry, being in a picture that's up for an Academy Award must be quite a thrill.
Oh, it is, Bob, and, well, even a bigger thrill is being here tonight.
Really?
Oh, of course. Why, now, how many young people starting in show business get a chance to appear with one of the truly great performers?
Well, if you insist.
Well, not only a great artist, but, well, one of the most popular men in the whole world.
Oh, don't lay it on so thick, but louder.
Honestly, Bob, this is one of the great thrills of my life. To think I'm actually going to meet Bing Crosby.
I feel as though I just stepped barefoot on a Pismo Beach clam. Tell me, honey, what is this interest you have in the ragged Johnny Ray?
Oh, I've always had a great admiration for Mr. Crosby, Bob. Why, if I ever wrote a fan letter, it would be to him. He even looks like a movie star.
Yeah, I agree with you. From the front to the back, he looks like Ma and Pa Kettle. But, Terry, there's no accounting for taste. Yeah.
Shut the door. Everybody's getting in.
Say,
what?
Just deliver the sandwiches and get lost. What do you care?
I really hate to interrupt this little father and daughter talk, but... can I put in my 2 cents worth?
When did the price go up?
Now, Robin, I'm a guest of yours here. You must extend yourself. Be a little more gracious.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cheddarhead. I just said that for a laugh.
Bob, are you going to introduce me, or am I going to have to do it myself here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Terry, this is Bing Crosby, if you'll excuse the expression.
Certainly nice meeting you.
I happen to be one of your many fans.
There's three altogether, you and two old ladies in Glendale.
Bob's jokes, don't you?
Oh, he's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Yeah. There's a striking resemblance.
Bing, you surprised me when you called and said you were coming over tonight. What's the occasion?
Well, it's rather important, Bob.
Well, it must be. After dark, you seldom get this far from your money.
Oh, this is a serious matter. I heard this program last week, and you dramatized a very fine moving picture, which I created, and...
Wait, wait. I was in it, too.
I was about to say that. A picture which I created against overwhelming odds. But my grievance is not that you worked in that picture. You have to live, too. Although that line is likely to start a nationwide controversy, I'm sure.
Look, you tubby Tallulah.
What is it?
You've got something...
You shrewish Shelley, what is it?
You've got something to say. Say it.
I've been swindled, that's all. And instead of having me playing the part I created, you go out and hire an old, broken-down, third-rate actor.
That was no actor. That was Jack Benny.
Well, I was available. Why get Jack Benny to play my part?
Well, you'll have to expect that sort of thing from here in, Bing. You're getting to the place where you have to step aside for the younger fellows, you know. Just nature did it to you.
I wished you wouldn't kid about this, Bob, because you've hurt me. You know, there's a code of ethics between friends. Partners should always be square with each other. There are things that one pal doesn't do to another pal.
I'm sorry, old paint. If you want, I'll turn in my Roy Rogers silver bullet.
I've tried desperately to hold up my end of this friendship, but, Bob, this little incident has served its purpose. Now I know your opinion of me, and I also know what you've been saying behind my back over there at Fairmont.
Well, what have I been saying? What?
I believe you told me, head of the studio, that I'm a lousy actor.
I never said that.
You didn't?
No, the only thing I said was, if they ever publish a who's who of talent, you'll be listed under F, father of Gary.
That's all. I've had it. Hello, if I get my umbrella, I'll go.
You're so upset about Jack Benny playing your part. Why didn't you put in a complaint before then?
I did. As soon as your show went off the air, I picked up the phone and I called the president of the company.
Oh, you went over my head.
Everything else does.
Let's not talk about intelligence. You didn't get a full issue of equipment either. Thanks for trying to knock me out of my job.
You don't have to worry about that, Bob. I would like to suggest a few changes.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Dad. Hold on here. Let's get this straight. On this show, I'm the boss. The only orders I take are from the chief at headquarters.
Oh, yes, and that reminds me. Your chief and I engaged in a gay foray about the golf links yesterday.
Yeah, he's a mean man with a 9-iron,
plays
isn't he?
Well, yes.
Took me for 75 cents the other day.
75 cents? My, you bet like a Republican, don't you? Say, come to think of it, your superior and I locked up for a few bucks also.
No kidding. He took you too, huh?
No. As a matter of fact, he didn't.
No, you beat the sponsor?
Yes. To lapse into the vernacular of the pool room, robber, I clobbered the boy.
Oh, and what did you win?
The company.
Oh, no, Bing.
Careful.
I mean, chief.
Yes, better. Of course, if you'd rather not, that vacancy on the laundry truck is still open, lad.
Oh, no, not that again. Took 2 years to win my honorable discharge from the diaper service.
Read on. Give it all the impact of your tinny but penetrating tones. Let me hear you.
The Technicolor picture starring Bing Crosby, Dorothy L'Amour, and Herman Schultz.
Hey, what is this?
What?
Wait, there's no Herman Schultz in the picture. I'm the third star. Check the latest release, chum. We had a new head dubbed in.
Oh, didn't you?
And here from Herman Schultz's picture is the ballad.
To see you is to love you, and I see you everywhere, in the sunrise, in the moon glow, any place I look, you're there. To see you is to want you, and I see you all the time, on a sidewalk, in a doorway, on the lonely stairs I climb. Someday let me show you how happy endings start. You'll find how well I know you, 'cause to know you at all is to know you by heart. To see you is to love you, and you're never out of sight. And I love you, and I'll see you in the same old dream tonight. Someday let me show you how happy endings start. You'll find how well I know you, 'cause to know you at all is to know you by heart. To see you is to love you, and you're never out of sight. And I love you, and I'll see you in the same old dream tonight.
Gee, Bob. Doesn't Big sing beautifully? The music just pours out of him. No effort at all.
Oh, he doesn't have to make an effort, Terry.
Why not?
Well, 2 years ago, when they took out Bing's appendix, they installed a recording machine. He's the only singer in the business with a long-playing stomach. Oh, my. It's typical of the lesser intellects to resort to flippant inanities when confronted with their literate superiors.
Why does it say that?
Right. You know, Terry, there's a lot of people in show business ought to be selling vacuum cleaners, and here's a fellow with a nozzle for it, I might add.
Thank you, Herbert Hoover. Say, Terry, don't pay any attention to Flab. He's still sore because Jack Benny played his part last week.
Well, I certainly am, and I think you owe me an apology.
Well, I can see Bing's point, Bob. When you hired Jack Benny to play his part, well, you cast a certain reflection on Bing's ability.
That's beautifully said, Terry, and I thank you. I think I've earned a little consideration. I've done some heavy spade work in my day. I've hitchhiked to club dates. I've played split weeks in Watsonville, and I... local connotation.
Yes, it's painted.
I think it's an artist colony, isn't
yes,
it?
I
think. I even sang
in the localing watering spa place, I think. It's a spa.
I even sang with the ship's orchestra.
What ship was it? The Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria? Columbus was crazy about
that. Now, is that a nice way to talk?
What do you come off with that Mr. Show Business routine? What are you doing, selling crying towels on the side?
Bob, every word Bing said is true. I'm sure he worked many long years before he got a break at Paramount.
So what? Is he the only guy that's had it tough? I played those tank towns. I had to scuff with for the room rent. But I studied. I learned everything I could about show business. And finally, they signed me. That's how I got into Paramount.
How touching. How lugubrious. I hate to debunk a beautiful fantasy, but that's not... That is definitely not how you got into pictures.
Oh, no?
No, when you got out here, you were a pool hustler from Cleveland. You were walking past that Paramount studio and you were knocked through the front gate by a 1926 Pontiac.
I have the only spine engraved with an Indian head.
Hey, now, why don't you two fellas stop this bickering?
It's gone beyond that, Terry. If I don't have to take advice from a Nevada hillbilly.
Now, Bob.
Just because he's wearing shoes this week, he's mad with power.
Oh, you're satisfied, I suppose. Satisfied that you're 100% perfect.
Well, I do all right, Gramps. My schedule includes pictures, Gramps. Television, radio. And I've taken on the toughest stint of all, a morning show 5 times a week. And I do all this while you're out there in Elko sidestepping hot lizards.
I think I can handle anything you can handle, Pinky. That morning program, now, that sounds like it might be my type of work.
Oh, I'm sure the women would love you, Bing. I know I'd like to hear you on a morning show.
Oh, Terry, you've given me all the encouragement I need. Shall we dip into the matutinal killer cycles, huh?
Matutinal?
Yes, the morning.
Well, no smoking. Fasten your safety belt. There we go.
And now, ladies, it's time for another visit with your old friend, Just Plain Bing. Yes, it's time to meet the friendly philosopher whose wise words and homely sayings have endeared him to the hearts of millions. Here he is, the sage of Cedarville.
How are you, neighbors? This is Just Plain Bing. Leaning over the barnyard fence to have a chat with you.
So far, this thing could stand a shot of chlorophyll.
And now for today's story. Today's story is episode number 9,600,427,923, chapter 7. Several months ago, a young couple moved to Cedarville, and so far they've had trouble fitting themselves into the life of the community. This disturbs our friendly philosopher very deeply, and right now we find him approaching the young couple's door.
Come in. Yes?
Hi, neighbors. I'm Just Plain Bing.
Oh, glad to know you, Just Plain Bing. I'm Just Plain Bob. And this is my wife, Just Plain Terry. And this whole thing is just plain disgusting.
Very nice of you to drop in, sir.
Thank you, Mom. I'm just being right neighborly. You mind if I come in and set a spell?
Of course.
Sure, come on in. I'll try and find a spell big enough for your setter.
I'll get right to the point. I understand you folks are having trouble getting acquainted with our Cedarville ways.
Yes, we are.
Well, now, Cedarville's a mighty fine place. You folks will find that most of the folks in this town are just plain folksy folks.
Oh, you won't find folks anywhere that are any more folksy than we folks.
I'm glad we laid in the supply of folks before the price went up.
Now, what seems to be a trouble in you youngsters?
Well, the whole town seems to be against us.
No.
Nobody will speak to us. Nobody invites us anywhere. We haven't any friends.
We're so lonely, we're getting care packages from Democrats.
Well, maybe I can help you young folks. My motto is, a good turn a day makes friendship whole sway.
Gee, that's keen, yeah, Lum. I can't wait. I can't wait to finger paint that on my sweatshirt.
It's too late to do anything for us. We've decided to move back to the city.
Well, now, I ain't the type to butt in on other folks' affairs, but the young couple across the street felt just the same way, and I helped them. I advised them to buy that gas station up on the highway.
Yeah, I heard about that. The gas station went bankrupt, the fella got desperate, stole a car, held up a bank, and now he's doing 20 years in Alcatraz.
Yeah, wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for me.
You advise it to do, Just Plain Bing?
Well, you folks ought to get out more. Mix with the other folks in the community. We have a social every Saturday. Big doings. Got Taffy pulling for the old folks and dancing for the young folks.
Oh, sounds like fun. I haven't been to a dance since Arthur Murray gave me an honorable discharge.
Oh, if we could only go to that social and make friends. We hate to leave here because Bob has such a wonderful job.
Where do you work, son?
I'm the traffic manager at the fish hatchery.
Traffic manager?
Yeah, when the salmon swim upstream to spawn, I make sure none of their eggs get scrambled.
That sounds like a very responsible job.
It is. Robert has a wonderful head for fish.
That must look mighty good hanging on the wall of a seafood restaurant.
Now, you wait a minute.
Robert, he's a friendly old philosopher.
Yeah, well, he may get his friendly old teeth knocked down his friendly old throat.
Now, let's not get all head up. I gotta be on my way now, but I'll see that you're invited to our next social.
Oh, thank you.
Not at all. I believe in a good turn a day. A good turn a day drives the dark clouds away and makes fair play whole sway. I've done you a good turn, and now maybe you'll pass it along and do a daily good turn for other people.
Oh, I'm all set for the next 5 years.
All thanks for the memory of the men here at Fort Ord who train with one accord to keep our might that holds the right to all the points we've scored. And we thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, seeing all these wonderful GIs up here has served as a reminder to us. A reminder that men are training and fighting, yes, and dying for freedom. That's rough talk, but it's a rough war, and it's going on now, every day without intermissions. Those of us who are lucky enough to be wearing tweed instead of khaki have to remember that we can't afford to take a vacation from responsibility. Let's not forget, because those guys in the front line aren't forgetting. If they did, we'd be doing this show from that Kremlin next year for much less money. So that's why we're happy, along with Bing, Terry, Les Brown, and the boys, to get this chance to visit with these guys up here at Fort Ord. Good luck, boys, and thank you very much.
Show is brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
From Fort Ord, California, The Bob Hope Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 14th, 1953 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.